Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Del Tackett. He played the lead role in the film called Is Genesis History? Dr. Del Tackett is the former president of the Focus on the Family Institute and a former senior vice president of Focus on the Family. He created Focus on the Family's The Truth Project, a nationwide project to bring the Christian worldview to the body of Christ. And it seems like we've been talking a lot about that worldview with other guests. I really like that theme. Dr. Tackett served more than 20 years in the U.S. Air Force and was appointed by President George H.W. Bush as the Director of Technical Planning for the National Security Council. Tackett's degrees are from Colorado Technical University, DM, is that Doctor of?
It's a Doctor of Management and Computer Science.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Auburn University, MS, that would be a Master's in Science.
A Master of Science in Software Engineering.
Okay. And Kansas State University Bachelor's. His many published works include pieces on worldview and cultural issues. A popular conference speaker, Dr. Tackett speaks on topics such as American Christian heritage, Christian worldview, technical subjects and management, and of course now on the immense body of evidence that is available as to our origin.
That's correct.
Welcome.
Thank you, Rose.
Welcome, welcome.
It's great to be here.
So first of all, how did you happen to get connected with the project Is Genesis History?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that happened really that started all this was the director, Thomas Purifoy, was trying to answer some questions of his 10-year-old daughter. And the questions surrounded this whole issue of Christianity and science, Genesis, the origins. And he didn't feel like he was prepared and adequate to really answer those questions. And he wasn't sure he had anything to really do that. So he's a filmmaker. And so he called me. We talked about making a film that we would be able to take people into the field, allow them to meet the scientists, look at that evidence themselves, and to see whether or not that evidence supported a biblical, a historical understanding of Genesis.
So you talked a little bit, and where did he start? Where did you start? Kind of lead us into that, because it's fascinating.
Well, it is. And so we started then. We wanted to give people the evidence from all the different areas of science. So we wanted to give them evidence from geology, from archaeology, from astronomy, from microbiology. And so then we looked for the very best scientists in each of those areas. And once we had done that, then we just scheduled, hey, we want to meet you at the dinosaur digs in Wyoming and film you. So that's how it played out. We started in Mount St. Helens at the Little Grand Canyon in Mount St. Helens. And we went all the way to St. Thomas scuba diving. Looking
cool.
At the coral there, talking about genetics, to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and everywhere in between.
So our listeners can go to ingenesishistory.com and learn more.
Isgenesishistory.com.
Isgenesishistory.com.
That's correct, yep.
So we, you know, Christians in the past taught that there was no such thing as dinosaurs, or they taught that dinosaurs had been created by the devil. And both of those theories really left young people at odds, especially as more and more fossils and bones came to be. So now we're looking at the fossils of these dinosaurs, and how do they disprove them?
Well, There were several things that we find in the fossil record that stand in what we might say opposition or bring about a great problem for the standard scientific paradigm, which includes the notion of evolution, that all living beings came from one living cell in the beginning. Darwin believed that the fossil record would eventually show that his theory of design by the whole process of the survival of the fittest,
yes,
and so forth, that the fossil record would show that. It would have to, because over millions of years, you would have to find the records of this slow, gradual process. Well, he thought that the reason it didn't in his time, in the mid-1800s, was because we didn't have enough fossil evidence. Well, we are now 150 years later, and we have a whole lot of fossil evidence, and we still do not have any of that gradual transition that Darwin thought was going to be there. So when we find mammals, for example, in the fossil record, when we find dinosaurs, when we find horses and cats, we find them fully formed. We do not find any evidence that they have slowly progressed from some other form, life form. And so rather than have the standard evolutionary tree that is everybody has seen in everywhere, what we really have is a huge orchard. What we have are individual trees of the individual kinds. So we will have a cat kind that because God gave to that kind in the beginning the genetic capability to become a lion or a tiger or a cat, as we know, a house cat, and all the various kinds of cats that we have. That is not the result of genetic mutations. That is simply just as we breed dogs, we're not modifying their genetics. What we're doing is we're selecting out of that dog pool certain genetic features that we want. So God created those kinds in the beginning with this deep genetic potential that those creatures themselves could adapt. They could change. It's not evolution as we know evolution, but it is the design of God that allows for this deep diversity and beauty and the exquisiteness of God's creation. But the kinds show up in the fossil record as a kind in the beginning, fully formed.
And the scientists that you worked with, were they all, they all believed in the Genesis as a creation story, or did you glean information or get access to certain sites and stuff from those who are still staunch evolutionists?
Well, what we did is we interviewed those scientists who begin with the Genesis paradigm. They use that framework in their work. We didn't feel compelled to revisit the evolutionary story with scientists because we see that everywhere.
Yes.
And so this was not a film where we were trying to show everybody's side. What we're trying to do is to help people understand that there is evidence, sound evidence, credible evidence, and credible scientists that believe that evidence supports a historical reading of Genesis. That was our purpose, and that's what we did.
Now, the statement that because there's no human footprints with dinosaur footprints, I mean, that has been used for quite a long time to say that there's, you know, that the humans and the dinosaurs didn't live at the same time. Do you have any explanation for that?
Well, most of these scientists that we talked about who deal in those areas would say that it is most likely that one of the big reasons is because people and dinosaurs didn't roam around together in the same way that you would probably not find my footprints around a mountain lion. I do not like mountain lions. I'm afraid of them. They're creepy to some extent. They're stealthy. So what we find in the fossil record is that the the life before God destroyed all of life except for Noah and his family was a violent life. It was filled with violence. And the result of the fall, many people think, just affected human beings. It did not. It affected the entire creation, and that included the animals. And so what happened was we began to see the rise of deep violence. The scientists talk about seeing dinosaur bones with teeth marks on them. This was a violent world. All you have to do is look at these creatures, and they look fierce, and they were. So the logical explanation would be that human beings and these ferocious dinosaurs did not walk around together. It was not like walking your dog in the park. This was something that you avoided. And it was part of the violence of the world when God destroyed it.
The antediluvian world.
Yes.
Now, did you happen, I just know this story, I can't remember what university he was from, some archaeologist discovered a whole herd of dinosaurs, and as they unpacked them, they found actual tissue. So he wrote up a paper about it. He hadn't been a Genesis, his framework hadn't been, he had been an evolutionist, but the tissue proved conclusively to him that these weren't, you know, millions and millions of years old. Did you happen on any of that, or is that just a recent thing?
No, one of the scientists that we interviewed was a scientist in a lab in Arizona.
Okay.
And so we looked at the soft dinosaur tissue. I held it in my hands.
Wow.
I looked at it in the microscope. It is stretchy, it's spongy. And we talked about the difficulty of trying to understand that these fossils, according to the standard conventional paradigm, are 60 million to 80 million years old, and yet they still have this protein that is viable within them.
Yeah.
It's difficult enough for those who believe in near time to think that it has survived for several thousands of years.
Yes.
But it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to think that it lasted for 60 million years. And now we're finding it in more and more fossils. We don't typically find a dinosaur bone and break it open. But we're now finding that this is not an anomaly.
Okay.
And in addition to the soft dinosaur tissue, we're also finding radiocarbon, which if the fossils were really as old as they are, radiocarbon has a half-life of about 5,000 years. And so it really should be, it should not be there.
Yes.
But it is there.
It is there.
And so these are the pieces of the evidence that we're trying to uncover and to show people that there is credible evidence.
Yes.
For those who want to read the Genesis account, as I believe it's written, historical narrative, that you don't have to, you don't have to think that you're therefore unscientific.
Yes.
Or a wacko.
Yes. Well, we'll be right back. I'm talking with Dr. Tackett about the film Is Genesis History. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Del Tackett about the film Is Genesis History? And you know, went over quite a few things prior to the break, but I just wanted to ask, was there any other thing then, other than dinosaurs and those fossils, that you looked at as far as proof that the Genesis story was a true story?
Well, Rose, one of the first things we do in the film is we take people to Mount St. Helens, and we open up standing in the bottom of a canyon, and we look at the walls. The walls are layered just like canyon walls everywhere all over the world. There is a creek running down the middle of that canyon at the base of it. And it looks just as old as any other canyon that you would see around the world. And yet that canyon is younger than I am. The canyon was formed as a result of those major explosions and eruptions in Mount St. Helens in the 1980s. Yeah. And those subsequent explosions and eruptions laid down this extremely complex geological area in which we find the same kind of geological structures and features that we find all over the world. And that is why Dr. Stephen Austin said that Mount St. Helens is the Rosetta Stone for geology, because we know what happened there. We don't have to guess. We don't have to look at the layers and say, oh, I think these were formed over millions of years. We know that they were formed instantly. So those were the kinds of things that we saw and looked at that I think will help people when they view the film to recognize that we have been captured by a scientific paradigm that attempts to kind of squeeze us into a particular mold, so that when we see layers, I've seen them in Cape Town, South Africa, I've seen them in England, we've seen them, everybody has seen these layers all over the world, that we are programmed to some extent to see them as millions of years. And what we're trying to help people understand is that is not necessarily the case. That there is evidence that said these layers, there's lots of evidence, I believe, that says these layers were laid down rapidly, not over millions of years. There are not millions of years between the layers. Mm-hmm. They had to have been laid down rapidly, and that's why they're filled with fossil graveyards.
Those
are just some of the things that we looked at.
Now, I know we have to bring this show to an end because you have such a busy schedule, but if my listeners, how can they obtain the film or see the film?
Well, there are several ways they can do that. First of all, they can go to the website isgenesishistory.com, put in their zip code, and then click the button, and it will tell them the theaters that are available in their area. After the film is over, there's going to be a large training tale behind the movie to help people if they want to dig deeper. There is also an ebook that can be downloaded now that people can look at to help prepare them and their children before they go see the film.
I just love the idea that as time has progressed, people are becoming more aware of the fact that Genesis is true. And if Genesis is true, it means that probably the Bible's true.
Yes.
And if the Bible's true, it means God is true. And that he's looking down and loving us so much. How did this experience change you personally?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question, because there were so many times when we had the opportunity to just talk for hours with these scientists. Unfortunately, the film only allows us to show a few minutes of that. But I would say the first thing was that I was struck, and I had to realize that I, too, had kind of bought the notion that creation scientists weren't in the upper tier of scientists, and I am ashamed to admit that. But after spending the time with all of these scientists over the last couple of years, I can tell you they are incredibly intelligent. A number of them were child prodigies. One has his PhD from Harvard. He was mentored by Stephen Jay Gould. They are scary smart, is what I call them. They are.
Yes.
And they're extremely professional. And the work that they do is, in many cases, some of the work that's done, for example, by Dr. Art Chadwick, is viewed to be the very best in the world at how they examine bones, how they classify them, how they, place where they are and where they're found in the bone bed, and put them in a 3D framework that can be rotated. It's just, I was struck just by the high professionalism of these scientists. And then the other thing, I guess, was just as we continued to see evidence after evidence even I was just more deeply assured that we can trust that God has given us the right history. You know, for years and years, I remember growing up hearing the accusation that the Jews were never enslaved in Egypt, that there never was a migration, that there was never a King David. And in my lifetime, I've seen every one of those all of a sudden now vindicated.
Yes.
The archaeological evidence now says, oh, well, yes, the Bible has its history correct. And I think it has its history correct when he tells us about the beginnings. It helps us understand who we are. It tells us why the human being has a special place in this world. It tells us that we're made in the image of God. It helps us understand male and female. We have a lot of gender confusion today.
Yes.
You know, we have college students that have been interviewed and asked, you know, is there a difference between male and female? And they say, no, that's only just a social construct.
Mm.
So we are deeply confused about gender.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that God has shown us in the history of him making male and female. It helps us understand why we live in a world filled with evil. It helps us understand why the universe around us is in decay. It helps us understand that God is a God who is holy and that he judges sin. And yet he is gracious and merciful. And he breathes out this promise of a coming Messiah in the midst of a universe that's now destroyed. So there is so much. I tell people that a biblical worldview is rooted in those first chapters. And if you want to twist them into something other than historical genre, put them in analogy or some sort of myth,
mm-hmm.
Or any other form than the historical narrative, then you have basically wiped out the foundation of a biblical worldview. Paul points back when he's making the case for Christ in Romans chapter 5. He's making the case for Christ that he is the second Adam, and he points to the first Adam. Well, if there was no Adam...
Yes.
Or, as in some of our theological circles today, that it was just a group of hominids that had evolved up to a certain point and God brooded over them or something. Then Paul, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, writing through Paul, comparing Christ as the second Adam to the first Adam doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all begins to unravel.
Mm.
And even Jesus, when he was asked about marriage, he took them back. He said, in the beginning. Well, then Jesus must have been wrong. So... All of those historical events that are declared to us in those first 11 chapters of Genesis are critical for our faith and for a biblical worldview.
What a wonderful way to conclude the show. It really, I can tell that our listeners are going to be so blessed because we need to feel God's presence.
We do.
We need to know where we came from and whose we are. Thank you so much, Dr. Tackett.
My pleasure.
For spending this time with us. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.